Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and man, the one night where I don't watch the Oscars, and they actually get it pretty much 100% right where it counts. What a world we live in. And with me, I have...
Whoever is keeping daylight savings time a thing needs to die. I want my hour of sleep back, bastards.
And...
Who the fuck comes with the idea of making ranch ice cream? Why are you like this?
I'm not sure. I thought that was photoshopped at first.
There's tons of these
meme pages that throw out like fake gross out food items there. But no, apparently that's real.
Yeah, it's that company that made the mac and cheese ice cream before.
What?
It's a brand called Van Leeuwen. I can't say it right, but that's they make those weird ass flavors.
Why is the internet like this when it comes to food? Can we just respect food, please, and not do stupid shit with food? Too much to ask. But anyway, here we are at episode 301, so how's everyone's week been going?
Well, I was sick for most of last week, so that wasn't fun, but I got better, which is good, I suppose. Didn't do much because, you know, I was sick, so I had to just sort of take it easy. I did watch all of the Oscars on Sunday. It wasn't a perfect show, but it was way better than the average of what we've gotten over the last couple of years. And, how about that weird multiverse movie with the hot dog fingers and everything? It's wonderful, isn't it?
Multiverse sweep, let's fucking go!
Yeah. It wasn't a total sweep. It was nominated for 11 awards and got 7, but, you know, it got all the big ones. And good on A24 for being the first movie company ever to sweep all the acting categories, best directors, and best picture. The first time in 95 years that's happened. It's a wild thing.
Yeah, I take it this means that next year they're gonna really fuck up, aren't they? The Oscars, oh. I mean.
Well, you know, Netflix is still trying to get that elusive Best Picture Oscar, and if they can't get it with an adaptation of a book that was made into a movie that won in 1930, then what else can they do? Seriously, everything I've heard about All Quiet on the Western Front is just watch the 1930 movie, and that's not a good sign when people are saying watch the old movie instead. But
wait, that movie's how old?
1930, and they made a new one just came out last year.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it's one of those things. But the Oscars were for the first time in a while good. It's hard for me to say that it's actually good, but it was for the most part good.
Good by Oscar standards,
which are admittedly a very, very low. Yeah, for the most part, it was a good show that I did not regret watching, which is something I don't say often about these damn award shows.
Hear, hear. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, I watched the Oscars, except, well, again, I don't have cable, and, well, I just, well, look at shit on Twitter, just do that shit. And from what I heard, the episodes are pretty solid, with some exceptions, with one exception.
Oscars gonna Oscars, we know.
Yeah, I know. And yes, I'm talking about the Best Supporting Actress Award, and look, Jamie Lee Curtis, she did good. She did really good. But you're telling me that Stephanie Sue, or Angela Bassett didn't deserve it more than she did, then you're lying. I'm sorry, but that's just it. That's just it. And plus, why are you disappointed? You're disappointed. She didn't win. You're, of course, you look disappointed. Don't get on her for that shit. That's some clown shit.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of clown shit up there.
Yeah, and of course, you'll know why. They didn't pick her because either some Oscars bullshit, some Oscars politics bullshit, or I don't know. They don't give anybody who acted in a Marvel movie because people are like that. But if you're gonna do that again from Every Only Once, you didn't go with Stephanie Sue, or Sue. Or I hope I said her name right. Didn't go with her. But you know what? With that aside, yeah, pretty. I mean, the best movie sweep. It got all the important Oscars, which is good by my watch.
Hear, hear. Anyway, as for me, just another typical week of work. I finally got into more quality time with the PS5. That Astro's Playroom tech demo is a pretty fun time. And also started on God of War Ragnarok. Thor's a bitch and I fucking hate that guy. But yeah, good time. Anyway, that about does it for the intro formalities and all that fun stuff. So let's move on to the usual business, which of course, as always, starts with the news song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your own playlists and all that junk. Anyway, starting right at the top here. Oh, hey, look at that. It's The Alchemist O'Clock. Yet again.
Yet again. This Lucy track is sort of a special thing. It's like, look, it's not a clock. It says it's Hit-Boy O'Clock. Or it's basically, hey, you got your Hit-Boy, my Alchemist. You got your Alchemist and my Hit-Boy. So, the two of them rapped on each other's beats on this one track called Slipping in the Darkness. Just like, I will say, like, the duration of the song, like, it is more of like production wise, like the Aquas got the most, time in production while Hit Boy raps, and I will say once again, Aquas rapping with Hit Boy production, which is pretty good, it's pretty solid. Got a good sample work, but I will say the Aquas production is, I like his better, which is no surprise there. It does have this nice little piano kind of thing going for it, which I was kind of bumping my head to, and with Hit Boy's verse, it was pretty good. I will say that song Control. Well, it's a big song. It's a big song, but it's about the Marvel where he calls competition with all the rappers. Hip Hop does the same thing, but with producers. It's like a friendly competition call, just saying, step the game up, producers. Which basically some shit like that, which is kind of good. I kind of like that shit. But yeah. I gotta say this. It's interesting one-off track that we got into.
Not gonna lie, I kind of want to hear a whole album of collaborations that work exactly like this. Maybe someone somewhere will get on that. But in the meantime, let's move on to the next track over here, which is a new single courtesy of a rapper Navy Blue.
Around here, he gets many times because he worked with people like, you know, Earl Sweatshirt, Wiki. I think he appeared on the Chris Craven album last year. But he's known very big in indie underground indie rap scene. And apparently now he's on Def Jam, which okay, he's moving on up. He's got a single out there called Chosen, which might be taking a new album we might get later this year. There's nothing about that yet, but all right. And look at production, which is like produced by a producer named Budgie. And okay, And I heard this guy's produced this stuff before on some tracks. Like, it does got the you know that chopped soul sample shit, which is kind of good. It sounds kind of nice. And for the rapping, all right, the rapping is pretty, like, it's okay. It's okay. I will say it's. I will give one negative point because when your verse is. I'd be always with Mr. Dave Chappelle and Brother Yassin in Paris, my son Margie Steppin, keep my pet queen. Yeah, not sure if that's a much of a flex. Cause that's not much of a flex anymore. Maybe in 2004 or some shit, but not today for obvious reasons. But yeah, the song is interesting. Like I said, I like the production a lot. A lot of the production. I want to see more, but his rapping is pretty okay here. I do think he's a good, like, he's an interesting indie, like, interesting rapper. But yeah, just see, I wonder what he'll do whenever he makes that big major label debut.
We'll have to keep an eye on that. Let's see when it happens. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So it's been about 3 years since we last heard from the band Proto Martyr, specifically 2020, with their album Ultimate Success Today. Which still kind of sounds like it would be the name of a project from Tim and Eric. But now we have a new album from the band scheduled for June 2nd, titled Formal Growth. And we have the first single from the album, Make Way. And the song sounds about what you would expect from some of the band's more recent output. It's built on very mellow, kind of steady verses with a lot of twang-heavy guitar melodies, those chord progressions and... that are, when they're combined with the grumbly, you know, spoken word style of the vocals, sounds like narration you would hear in, like, a, I don't know, spaghetti western or something. But then all that gets contrasted with a lot of these bursts of overdriven guitar and booming drums in the choruses. It is definitely a Proto Martyr song. If you're into it, you're into it. I think it's all right for what it is.
This was fine. It's got some twang and... some wide atmosphere, but all I can really say is that it was just fine. It's kind of all I got.
Fair enough. Now, let's move on to the next track here. So, we're living in an age where the deathcore genre is still going pretty damn strong, way after we all thought it would be, you know, pretty dead. You have bands like Suicide Silence still going, recovering from their unfortunate flop era. You have other old stalwarts like Whitechapel who are greatly expanding their sound on recent albums to do more within the deathcore framework. Bands like Lorna Shore getting newfound surges in popularity with, you know, major switch-ups in lineup and sound. Not to mention, you know, any number of deathcore and deathcore-adjacent shit posters on the internet from Jared Alonji to the good old man himself, Nick Nocturnal. You ever just want to criticize Whitechapel? But I guess it's no surprise then with deathcore and, you know, its popularity. Shit, that reminds me. There's still that Job for a Cowboy reunion happening soon, whenever that album is. But I guess it's no surprise then that rumblings of a quote-unquote deathcore vocalist supergroup have been floating around the metal blog headlines, specifically dubbed The Big Six, at first. The lineup initially featured vocalists from the following bands: Fit for an Autopsy, Lorna Shore, Left to Suffer, Traitors, Infant Annihilator, and Attila. Thankfully, at the very least, Chris Fronczak is fucking out. Thank fuck. And he did get replaced, specifically by Darius Tirani of the band Spite, but then one of the other vocalists, Joe Badolato from Fit for an Autopsy, quit. They never did find a sixth replacement, but now they're going by the name Project Vengeance, which... sounds like it would be a video game from the same studio behind such brilliantly named gaming titles as Octopath Traveler and Triangle Strategy. Seriously, can you guys not think of better names? Yeah, the studio. But yeah, of course, after much teasing, they finally released their first single as a group, Cut, Bleed, Repeat, and it's not really that good. And keep in mind, this is coming from a guy who's pretty lenient on deathcore, relatively speaking. Like, you know the expression, something greater than the sum of its parts? this is definitely not it. Like, it might seem like a decent idea on paper to pair a whole bunch of popular deathcore vocalists into a single group and song, but the problem is, for whatever reasons you might like the individual bands themselves, all of that just kind of get lost in the mix here. Kind of a too many cooks in the kitchen, it doesn't really sound like, well, much of anything. Like, the nicest thing I could say about the song is that the instrumental is just a less annoying version of a Code Orange song. But even then, everything just kind of bleeds together into nothing with, like, none of the unique strengths of any of these bands. Like, I could just listen to the new Lorna Shore album and that would be a better use of my time.
Yeah, this is the most prototypical deathcore thing I've ever heard. And I don't mean that in a good way. Outside of the band members being, you know, from that quote-unquote club. With this track, the dynamics are just all over the place. The vocals are too hot. The drums feel very pancakey with a lot of punch to it. The bass is virtually non-existent. And the guitars just have too much extra processing for my liking. This is just not it for me. And it's not a very good combination of the quote-unquote best of the scene, which isn't that great of a scene to begin with, especially when you get to other subsections of said scene, which good on you, Spirit Box, for saying fuck you, Ronnie Radke, because fuck Ronnie Radke forever
Thank
and a day.
God.
Now, if every other band plan to go on that tour could come to their senses, that would be wonderful, because fuck Ronnie Radke for everything. I don't even have to say in what detail I'm referring to. It's just evergreen. Fuck Ronnie Radke, period.
Just throw a dart at the board and pick from the list. He probably did something today, as far as I know.
Bastard. He probably ate ranch ice cream.
Oh, he absolutely would.
Yeah, he'd do it because he thinks it's a way to own whoever his target is at the moment, which, yeah, that kind of fits to the kind of person Ronnie Radke is, or sub-person, really.
Yeah, but enough Ronnie Radke justified trash talk. Let's move on to the next song. So, with the recent smattering of seemingly one-off tracks from the band Veil of Maya that we've been getting, it was only a matter of time before an actual album got, you know, announced. And sure enough, in the past week, we got word of the band's first new album in 6 years. The album is called Mother, with the M in, you know, closed brackets and such, and it's due for a May 12th release. And of course, coinciding with the announcement, we have another single from the band called Red Fur. And listening to this, I come back to the same reaction that I keep having with a lot of the songs that we discussed from the band up to now. It's fine. Like, it's not actively incompetent. It pretty much does all the stuff that you would expect out of, like, contemporary genty prog metal. You know, from the irregular rhythmic chugs and steady grooves, to, you know, the guitars having lots of pinch harmonics and weird noodling leads, the very, very melodic poppy chorus and synthetic flourishes here and there, but it's missing that extra pinch of something, you know, like Monuments has really good production courtesy of guys like Mick Gordon. Periphery has, you know, all the good Periphery spices and even the occasional dose of Hades and Final Fantasy homaging here and there, but there's none of that in this. This is just pure, it's just so much bones without any meat, you know?
Yeah, this was also fine, but I'll be on the more positive end of that spectrum, and I'll say that I can kind of dig the melodic Periphery-style sections in here. In between the heavier tech gent bits, I'll say the production is a lot better than whatever that other song was. There's actually distinguishable dynamics to be found. Not to mention the video, that feels like a cross between Eyes Wide Shut and 28 Days Later, which is a very wild hybrid if there ever was. I think when you combine those two, you get Event Horizon. But, yeah, I couldn't tell you what this narrative is turning into, though, or why Spencer Sotelo has a Squid Game mask on with his cohorts, so I guess we'll have to wait for part three of this riveting narrative to come to us.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, looks like next on the docket is Calvin Harris. And he's got a collaborator with him here, Ellie Goulding. Wait, didn't these two already work together like a fucking decade ago?
They collaborated a lot.
Because I remember there was one back during that particular era when EDM producers were the big, huge trend on the pop charts. There was a Calvin Harris, Ellie Goulding song, but fuck me, I couldn't tell you which one it was. That whole scene bleeds together into a gigantic fucking gray slurry of nothing.
Yeah, it was. I think it was called Outside, which. I much prefer the track she did with Skrillex Summit, because that era slapped. It was good. But yeah, we're at diminishing returns now with all this modern EDM stuff.
And apologies, Mark, but it looks like we're not exactly in the realm of funk wave bounces anymore.
Yeah, I sort of get that now, considering how, like, the last album, I didn't really, like, I don't hate it, but it just kind of, I don't know, like, I've been disappointed by it, to be honest. And now I got this new track, which, you know, from them is called Miracle. And basically, this is what I got from this.
Modern dance hall, it sucks.
Yeah, this collaboration right here, it's not good.
They're trying to rip off this early 2000s Euro pop or whatever the Euro pop shit, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like Richard of that, and it sounds kind of corny, to be honest. I listened to a few times. I'm like, I'm not getting this. Like, all I get is just some rabbit, whatever. It's just that I'm gonna focus on the song because I'm busy petting the cat right now.
Yeah. This makes me want to listen to Summit again, which I probably will do after this. Just, such a good song. This is just not
it. I think now
petting a cat seems like a more productive use of time. Yeah, so good on you, Mark.
I think now this went on from, I went from being blah about Calvin Harris to liking him to being blah about him again.
A roller coaster of emotions. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. You know, amidst all the cinematic discussions from bears who do cocaine to John Wick Chapter 4 to Everything Everywhere All at Once getting all the awards to even that one experimental horror movie Skinamarink that I keep forgetting to watch, I keep forgetting that there's apparently a fucking Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh yeah, that thing. Which I heard.
Starring... what's his name? The fucking Pine. Star Trek guy for the movies?
Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and a few other people.
Yeah, that motherfucker. Yeah, so for those of you who have $10, $15 burning in your pocket at the cinema, at the, you know, local mall's multiplex on March 31st, Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves is a movie that you will be able to watch. And apparently it's going to have a soundtrack that presumably has music from bands. One such band in question being Tame Impala, who here contributes a track called Wings of Time. And this definitely is not the Tame Impala sound as I have come to understand it in recent years. Like, yeah, sure, you listen to the vocals and it's definitely Kevin Parker, but the instrumental veers far away from most semblances of modern, you know, synth pop to way more of this, like, 70s rock sort of thing. Very much in... It sounds exactly like the kind of band from that decade who probably decked themselves out in a lot of, you know, medieval fantasy Dungeons & Dragons style imagery. You got plenty of classic rock guitars, both of the acoustic and overdriven variety, and a very cliche and expected triplet gallop drum rhythm like a horse riding off into battle.
Yeah, it's definitely not the tempo I thought I knew. I mean, I'm not saying this is stick to what they know. I mean, if they want to do other shit, they want to scream at other things, then they're fine. But I don't know. I'm just not feeling this song. It's like, okay, it sounds like your average rock track, or at least from what I know from it. But it's like, okay, I mean, maybe because it's not the tempo I used to be that I know, but it does feel like just basic soundtrack fodder. Just feel like, yeah, this is definitely a 7/4 soundtrack. It's something for the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Which I heard is getting, actually, I think early is getting good positive perception about it, which, I mean, that's having that movie considering, well, 20 years ago, that it didn't go so well.
My notes on the track read as follows. Lame. This sounds like a Tim and Eric song skit done seriously.
Oh!
Nobody wants that.
Damn! Savage. Well, I don't know. Like, it's whatever. I'm not going to go see the movie. I'm not into Dungeons & Dragons. I'm into cool things, like Pokemon. Yes, I'm 29 years old. Why do you ask?
Yeah, just go see John Wick Chapter 4 again. I'm sure the second time around, the nearly 3-hour runtime won't be as intrusive.
Oh shit, that's why the movie's gonna be 3 hours.
two hours, 48, I believe.
Almost that, but still, goddamn, long as fuck.
I need to go re-marathon the other movies.
Yeah, so do I. I got them on Blu-ray.
But anyway, moving on to the final track here, probably the most interesting announcement we've gotten in the past week. So, while this particular artist has been brought up in discussions in passing, and even getting a feature somewhere on the Decibel Boost year-end album Spectacular for 2022, I believe this is the first time that we're ever discussing a song of theirs in one of the proper mainline episodes. So, Mark, talk to us about some Christine and the Queens.
Christine the Queens. Somebody discovered that, oh, wow, I actually like the, well, I like his music. It's pretty good. And he had a new album coming out in, I believe, it'll be June? It'll be June, which is titled, it's Paranoia, Angels, True Love, on June 9th. It's follow-up to last year's album that I cannot say because it's in French. Red Carlet, the prologue. And so we got a single today. So it was called "To Be Honest." And okay, I'm gonna say it does sound like his early work, I'll say it's more like out of three albums that he made, it's definitely what I hear from the first one rather than the second one. It is more, you know, very, very vocal pop shit, like, all right, which, and his vocals, like, you know, and his vocals, I mean, they're pretty good, like, it does go all the good, like, go where we're singing it. He goes, I get lost in my thoughts for hours of time, for it's making me feel and not lonely more. To be honest, I'm trying to love, I'm afraid to kill, but I never know when to search or to stay still. So when I fly, to be honest with you, even though I don't think he's singing like that, that's just my voice. But okay, it's a very interesting, note. Like, it is more pop, but not almost new wave like the last album was, but it should be like an interesting one to look into, considering looking looking at who's going to be featured in the album, which features O70 Shake, and okay, Madonna.
Huh.
Well, that's going to work. But yeah, like I said, that was going to be like a tune from, you know, from that album, which we basically opened up to, like, you know, basically from Runner Racing, inspiration from the dramaturgy of Tony Kershaw's iconic play, It was America, Red Car felt colorful. Well, that's what he said in the press release. Feel colorful and absurd, like prior sent to his insane dream space, which I sort of get concerned, like, that's what I watched. But this song itself, all right, it's interesting. I wanted to know more about, it, and probably still, you know, maybe still go back to listen to some of his albums. I haven't listened to it like a little bit, but yeah, just keep a fresh mind.
Yeah, having heard all three of his albums, because I did get curious, this definitely sounds a lot like the first one, which is to say, it sounds like a pretty good French version of Churches. The guitars are a nice touch.
Consider me also intrigued. I like the overall feel this is going for here.
Looks like all of us are on board then.
Yeah.
We shall see what happens soon. But, yeah, that's pretty much about it for the new song discussion. Now we're going to move on to the one news topic that we have. Once again, it's another festival lineup here. This time, we're heading to Golden Gate Park in San Francisco for the 15th anniversary of the Outside Lands Festival, taking place the weekend of August 11th through the 13th. So, your lineup here... And oh god, all those fucking sponsorships.
It's one of those. Anyway, it's one of those lineups where everything is just, yeah, it's just the lineup is all basically.
Yeah. So yeah. If you're not looking at the poster right now, the formatting is like this: your big major headliners are kind of in a vertical stack of names on the left, and then you have your more traditional festival lineup layout for pretty much. And the rest on, like, the right of that. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Graphic design is their passion, clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so starting with your biggest featured headliners, there is Kendrick Lamar.
Ooh.
Foo Fighters. Nice. Odessa. Lana Del Rey. The 1975. Megan Thee Stallion.
Ooh.
Zed.
Oh.
2Ds. Janelle Monae.
Ooh.
Maggie Rogers.
Okay.
And Fisher.
Fisher
who?
Ooh.
Who knows? And then going into And the Rest, there's He Takes the Walk to Poland. Lil Yachty.
and now he's an alternative rock artist because apparently he said, I don't know, I guess he's just like, let me say, I don't know, I guess I was rapping, I guess he wasn't good at rap, which, well,
nice to see him finally admit it.
Yeah.
You think I haven't forgotten about the whole blow my dick like a cello?
Well, we will never forget.
When he tried to explain the line and make it work. Squidward plays the fucking cleric. My fucking... Look, this dude can't be... Like he's in our relative age range. I know for a fact this dude had to grow up on SpongeBob. How do you miss that? God damn. Anyway. Can't get stuck on that. Going on to the rest, there's Noah Kahan. Cigarettes After Sex. Jid, Interpol, Willow, Father John Misty.
Okay.
Toby, I'm not going to be able to pronounce that last name.
Wigway?
Wigway, I guess. Let's see, Orville Peck.
Oh yeah, I heard about him.
A-Spa. Biba Doobie. L'Imperatrice. I guess. Kuko, Nora and Pure, Poolside, Alves, Nikki, Alex G. Oh, Soccer Mommy. Nice. Diesel, parentheses, Shaquille O'Neal.
Wait,
oh my fucking
wait,
God.
What? Wait, 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 wait.
Yeah. It's another DJ set, which, hey, Feds, if you want to interview Shaq about that whole FTX thing, I know where he's going to be in August.
You know what? The DJ thing is better than letting him do another rap album.
Okay,
Monolink, rather. Ravina. Trixie Mattel, who I think is an associate of RuPaul, but I could be wrong on that. Mariah the Scientist. ISOXO. Holly Humberstone. Lovejoy. No relation to the Reverend, I assume. Becky Hill. Joy Oladokun. Jesse Murph. Inhaler. Crumb. Dope Lemon.
Okay.
Gabriel's. Ethel Kane. I stick my dick in a bag of Doritos. Zach Fox, motherfuckers. Set of the year. let's see. There's a Cobra Man. Samia. Tops. Orion's Son. The Jungle Giants. Mild Minds. Yaya Bay. Nation of Language. Donnie Benet. Evan Gia. Manila Gray. Nana. The Dip. Eddie Zuko. Wild Child. No Vacation. Pretty Sick. Grace Ives. West End. Midwest with an X. Wednesday. Upsol. Izzy. Okay, hang on. I have to pause to make sure I'm reading this correctly. Hell Tie.
Yeah, okay. I had to do the same thing. Like,
what? I think we all did.
Kids, don't look. You don't want to see that many tentacles in one place. let's see what else. There's Fake Fruit, Venus and the Flytraps, Amit B2B Trick, Blonde colon ish, Claptone, Coco and Breezy, Daniel Avery, Dennis Sulta, Disco Lines, Eras, Justin J, Kim Ann Foxman, Loverground, Miss Dre, Nala, Red Axes, Sama Abdul Hadi, Tin Liquor, Vinsa, okay, and Who Made Who? More like, who the fuck are half of you people?
Yep, as usual, it's the big names we all know, and then the rest are the who are you people the rest, section.
Yeah, with a sprinkle of, hey, I know that guy.
Listen, we all know Zach Fox is just going to kill it, so everyone else needs to pack up and go home. Especially you, Tin Liquor. But, yeah, for those of you that are going to be in San Francisco in August, there's a thing for you to do that weekend. And that'll about do it for the news topics. And now we just have the last little thing here, which is the new album releases for the week of March 17th, 2023. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Chelsea Grin with Suffer in Heaven, the latest in a double release set. There's a new one from the band Invent Animate with Heavener. From 100 Gex, we have 10,000 Gex. From Eve's Tumor, we have Praise a Lord Who Chews But Which Does Not Consume, or simply Hop Between Worlds. From U2, we have Songs of Surrender. We got a covers album from T-Pain with On Top of the Covers. Last but not least... Look, I'm pretty sure it made sense to T-Pain.
It's a covers album with Donna Cole on top of the covers.
He knew what he was doing. And last but not least, we have the newest album from M83 with Fantasy. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I just sort of stick around and ramble on incoherently every so often because that's just what I do. I got nothing.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Either on Twitter, my type of media where, I don't know, I do shit or, I don't know, participate in the Scaring the Holes challenge, which, by the way, album comes out next week. Woo! And also, my site, my hyper1.wordpress.com, where this Friday, I will be a new story, finally, because I'm done writing the damn thing. Diamondback will be live on Friday.
Hear, hear. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook, visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well as the most immediate place to get new updates whenever anything goes up on the site. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back later on in the week with the album roundup for the month of February 2023. So until next time, I greatly look forward to Cocaine Bear 2. This time, it's Cocaine Cat.